Now stay tuned for Aapka Kya Vichar Hai? What is your opinion?
Hello and welcome to Aapka Kya Vichar Hai? What is your opinion? Program that gives food for the thought. I'm Sheila Dandekar.
And I'm Dan Solanki.
Well, you know, Dan, everyone likes a good story.
Uh-huh.
And, well, you know, the small children like stories, but as we grow up, and older people too, like to hear a good story.
There's no doubt.
And a good story can be heard over and over again too.
That's true.
And so, today, we are going to follow a format a bit different. It is a story about man named Jonah. Have you heard of Jonah? Or have you heard this story before?
Well,
maybe you have, maybe you haven't. And it would be something that you will enjoy. And so sit back and listen to the story now. Right. Now, Dan, maybe you need to do an introduction of Jonah. Now, what?
I will.
Uh-huh.
What
happened to Jonah? Or what came to Jonah, I should say?
Well, let me give a quick background first.
Okay.
Maybe that'll be better. We are talking about 700 to 600 B.C., before Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The Assyrian Empire was a huge empire in the, let's call it the Middle East.
Uh-huh.
And it was a dominant one. And anytime there's one empire that's dominant, the smaller countries that have gotten swallowed up by the empire always have bad feelings. And so it was pretty strongly certain that the Jews didn't favor this Assyrian Empire, whose
because
capital,
they were taken over by Assyrians?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
They included that.
Uh-huh.
And after the Assyrian, it was the Babylonian.
Okay.
And so on.
Okay.
But the Assyrian Empire, which was then in existence, the capital city was Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
But we are talking about a man who lived near where Christ was born. Let's say Israel.
Okay.
And Jonah lived about 760 B.C.
Okay.
And the prophecy he made was from that era. He was a prophet. But what is quite unusual about the book is that it is unlike any other books in the Old Testament about prophecy. There's only one prophecy. Most of it is a story. So that is why we decided that we'll just tell the story.
And a story about this man.
This man and what happened in connection, of course,
okay,
with the prophecy.
Okay, so this man, Jonah, was a prophet and
right.
He lived in Israel.
That's right.
Okay, what happened to him?
Okay, something, as you mentioned, came to him. It says at the beginning of the book, it says, now the word of the Lord.
Well, maybe we should say where Jonah is found. I mean, it's not something we are making up this story.
Right.
So, Jonah is found in, see, Bible has different books. And,
right.
Of course, it has two sides. One is Old Testament
correct.
One is New Testament. And so, this story you can find in Old Testament.
In the Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
And it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.
Go call out against Nineveh?
Yeah.
Call out against Nineveh.
Call out against Nineveh.
What does that mean?
Well, I think in context of the whole thing, it means go to Nineveh and tell them that God doesn't like what you are doing.
The way they are living.
Well, that's
what
going to be
doing.
The next thing.
Okay.
So, God doesn't like what you're doing. Tell that to them.
Well, what did God say? I mean, it's interesting now. What evil, I mean, something that they were doing that was evil.
Yeah.
And so the God, it came before God.
Right. That is the question. Their evil has come up before me. That's what God is saying. Now, the meaning of that, I feel, is that too many or all of them were committing evil. Now, it looked like any normal city where nothing was wrong, but the reality was they were all committing evil things. And it was so evil that it had come up before God for judgment. That means there wasn't anyone in the city. Even if there were a few, the Lord would have stopped. But there was no one in the city who was not committing evil.
Hmm.
And the Lord picked this man, Jonah, and he told him, go to Nineveh and tell them, okay, I'm warning you, judgment is going to come upon you, because in God's sight, you're doing evil.
Well, did Jonah obey? did he go?
You know something, to me it's actually scary that God speaks to you usually in a small voice inside your heart. But this says the word of God came to Jonah. He heard a clear voice.
Uh-huh.
And he heard a clear sentence. But when you asked, what did he do in obedience? He did exactly the opposite. He literally got up and he went to the boats, meaning he went to the docks. Now, let me try to give you geography. To put it very simply, Nineveh was to the east. To the west was the ocean. He went to the docks and he took a ship. He actually went to the docks to find a ship that was going west, exactly
opposite.
In the opposite direction.
Well, now, did he get on the ship? Did he pay the fare?
That's the strange part.
He must have money, too.
Yes. He made a plan.
Okay.
And he, I'm sure fares were not exactly cheap.
Mm.
Usually the ships did not take passengers. They usually took cargo.
Mm.
But he went to the ship and he paid the fare. That means he had made up his mind. Now this man, remember, he clearly heard the word of God. And this is the beauty of what God allows you to do. In spite of the fact you know you are doing wrong, he has still made every human being with a free will. He allowed Jonah to pay that money, and Jonah got on that ship.
That is really, yeah.
Mm.
Well, okay.
And he got on the ship for one purpose.
To run away?
For going in the opposite direction.
So was he running away from presence of God?
That really, if you think about
it. Can you run away?
Yeah.
Can you run away from presence of God?
We actually think we can run away.
Hmm.
We think we can hide our sin. We think we can tell lies and God will not know it. We think we can do certain things which we know in our hearts is not good. And we still do it. And once we get talking with certain people, we seem to convince ourselves that this is only a tiny group. There are three of us, and we're talking horrible things, and no one else is listening. How can you run away from the presence of God? And yet, this is what happens time and again. Jonah is no different from any one of us. He tried to run away. Can you run away from the presence of God?
Well, the Lord allowed him to run away,
uh-huh.
But did Lord close his eyes? What did he do?
Well,
what did the Lord do?
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, he's
right.
Watching.
The Bible, by the way, I'm reading something called the English Standard Version,
mm-hmm.
of the Bible. that says, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up.
Wow.
And the ship, I mean, a tempest is something else. But what I've learned is that sometimes you can, cross waves can be generated. Waves that are going in one direction and another.
Mm-hmm.
And
the twister-like thing.
Some kind of a show on TV which showed these ships that would try to fish for crabs in the Arctic Ocean, and that they would go down because of the incredibly wild weather over there. And all of a sudden, they would capsize. And of course, in that water is freezing. It would be
so the sailors must have been terrified.
Yes. The sailors were terrified.
Mm-hmm.
They were scared. Now, to make a sailor scared, it has to be weird. What I've got a feeling is those boats were made out of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And a certain kind of creak meant that we used to call it at home, we used to call it Dahmer. I think it was tar.
Yeah, yeah.
The tar started to move between the planks.
Mm.
When that happens, if it even one plank comes loose, the ocean gushes in.
Mm-hmm.
They were scared.
Mm-hmm.
That is what meaning the winds were so odd that the boat was actually being twisted in odd directions. So it was...
Well, what actions did the sailor take then? What did they do?
Well, the first thing the sailors did was they started praying to their gods.
Mm-hmm.
Most probably from the implication of that is they had different gods. So they're praying to this god and to that god.
Well, isn't that something that whenever a person is in distress, he calls on the Lord, their god.
Isn't that true?
Sailors did that.
Yes. We all do that. And it, in a way, it's good because it gets us a clear sense that God is trying to get our attention. And when we try to do that, then we start trying to understand what is real and what is not real. Because guess what was happening to them?
Well, they were afraid.
They were afraid. Nothing was happening. Their gods, whoever they were not listening.
There
was no answer. Yeah. And this is what happens. The way to test your God is to ask a serious question and find out if there's no real answer.
Hmm.
If there's no real answer, that is serious. Or if someone comes to you and gives you the kind of answer which says, you know something? You are living a life. Instead of living that life, forget it. There is no such thing as pain. Sometimes I don't know whether I should laugh or cry. Because what they're doing is they're asking you to forget your life and leave your individuality behind when everything tells you that you are a perfect individual, you are whole to yourself. And they say, leave it all behind, it's not real. I don't know whether to laugh or to cry when someone says something like that. The truth is God has made you an individual separate from everyone else. He's trying to get to you. And if you do, you talk to your gods and your gods are saying, well, forget the pain. There's no pain. Put yourself above the pain. You start to wonder what's wrong. Okay? Now, I'm sorry I'm making a kind of a humor about it, but think about it seriously.
The sailors were worried about their life.
Yeah.
And
worried were they?
Well, enough to call on their God, and that's the only thing they knew. They did not know the true
that
God to call on. But
and
the person who knew true God, Jonah, what was he doing?
That's an important question.
Was
this
he
guy
praying?
Was sound asleep.
He was sleeping.
Sound asleep.
Mm.
You wonder why he was sound asleep. I'm not going to get into too many reasons. Maybe I'll handle it later. But he was asleep.
Well, then when they were praying, the sailors, and praying to their God, and they found this guy fast asleep, what did the captain do?
The captain.
I mean, here, it must be amazing sight. I mean, how can this person be fast asleep?
Well, I think it was not just amazing, but what the captain was doing in desperation was he was trying to find out if someone had a God who could stop this. That's what he was trying to do. And he remembered that this is the guy. He went down. Here's a guy fast asleep. He woke him up. He says, pray to your God. Maybe your God will listen to you.
And you'll be saved. Yeah.
He actually said, pray to your God. And guess what Jonah did? We're not given a record. But I don't think he prayed to God. Or maybe he did pray to God.
Well, we really don't know, but they had to take another avenue.
Right.
What was the next course they did?
Okay. What they did was they cast lots. They said someone is to blame, so they cast lots. I don't know what it was. Sometimes you say who gets a short straw. They break one straw shorter than the other. I don't know. Some kind of lot. And guess who picked up the wrong one?
Well, that was the idea that people had, that some disaster is to come, that we must have, somebody must be sinful.
Right.
Now, maybe I can tell a little short story.
We
went to Elephanta Caves. Now, if anyone is from Bombay, they will know that.
Uh-huh.
And on the way back from there, we missed our ship. So for some reason, and we had to get in this smaller boat, about 10 of us.
Oh,
and,
no.
I mean, the Jonah story always reminds me of that. And the wind started blowing and the boat started shaking. And then exactly so, you know, people were saying, now who didn't take a bath this morning and came aboard?
Yeah.
So that is the idea. You did something wrong, and that is why it's happening. Well, let's stop for the song here, and then we will get back to our story.
तुम्हें दूर नहीं जाना है।
I hope you enjoy the song. Today's music is taken from Mehnaz's album, and we are thankful that she has let us use her songs. We are talking today, actually we are having a story time today,
mm-hmm.
and we are having a story narrated by Dan, and by me asking questions about Jonah, a character in the Old Testament. Actually, it's a book in the Old Testament. And so
that's
here
right.
He is running out of God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, go to Nineveh. Nineveh is a city in Assyria, which is, which the people were full doing things that were evil, and it came, the Lord could not stand it anymore, let me put it that way. And
yes.
He told Jonah to go tell them. And so instead of going to Nineveh, he went the opposite direction, took a ship, and was running away. And and God let him do that, but then God didn't leave him alone either. The wind came, and the not just wind, the great storm. The ship was sinking. The sailors were scared. And then captain came to know Jonah and asked him to pray. But in the meantime, they also casted the lot to say who is the sinner in that bunch
right.
that caused them this terrible uh-huh. disaster that is supposed to happen any minute now. Okay, then what happened then? Did the lot, I mean, when they cast the lot, which is means that, you know, they are
right.
trying to put the names in the pot, I suppose,
right.
and get, so whose name came up?
What was Jonah's? He got the short straw or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
It came up, and of course, it was not Jonah himself. It was what God did. And the thing that was interesting after that is they started asking him question after question. I'm just going to read that to you. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you from? And he said to them, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land. This is what Jonah confessed. Okay? Guess what happened to the sailors? They not only turned quiet, but they became afraid of Jonah. Because notice what he said. He said, my God made the sea and the dry land.
Mm-hmm.
When he said that, and right away they were afraid, and they asked him, what is this that you have done? Now the thing was this, he had already told them he was trying to run away from God. And really the question comes to mind is, can you run away from God? This is not a trivial question. This is something that I would ask every one of our listeners to think about. Can you run away from God? Think of it. Jonah was not afraid to run away from God, but guess what the sailors were? They were frightened.
Yeah.
Jonah ran away. The sailors were frightened. So, what do you think the sailors did?
What did the sailors do? I mean, they were afraid of Jonah. They were so they had to get rid of Jonah.
Now, here's the strange part. Jonah told them, he said, throw me out of the ship. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to throw me out of the ship. They were so afraid of him that they didn't throw him out of the ship. Instead, they started to row towards land. And guess what happened? It got worse.
And didn't they also start throwing other stuff away?
That's right. They threw all the other goods away and everything.
May make the ship lighter.
But nothing was happening. No, it didn't help at all. It did not help at all.
Well, what did they do finally?
Finally, they actually prayed to God and they said, please don't put his blood on our hands. And they threw him out of the ship.
So they were even afraid to throw Jonah away.
Yeah, because he had told them that I'm running away from God. And they understood that God didn't like that. And so they knew he was a man of God. They knew he was a prophet. They knew he was to go to the opposite direction and tell Nineveh, you're sinful. I'm going to bring judgment on you. God's judgment is coming on you. They didn't want to do anything to him. But that's what he said. So finally, they threw him out.
And what happened?
Oh my. It was calm.
Immediately
it was calm. And the Bible says they were very afraid. Now, it doesn't say this, but I suspect the moment it got calm, all their goods were gone, they turned right back for home. They rode straight back to home. The moment they reached the port, they started telling everyone.
I'm sure.
They started telling everyone.
I'm sure they were happy that their lives were saved.
But their lives were changed also. The main thing is something that people even to this day don't have. They don't have the fear of God. They think there is no God. Nothing can happen to us. All that happens is chance. Maybe you think so. I'd like you to think carefully about it. Because it is when you start being afraid, when you start fearing God, it's not really being afraid like something like at night or something, but when you start realizing there's a God who is waiting to see what you do, then your life starts to change. Otherwise, it does not. Well,
what happened to Jonah?
Now, let's go back from the sailors back to Jonah. Jonah
is in the ocean now.
Now, I'm going to read something. Yeah, he's in the ocean. God, and it says in the Bible, and the Lord appointed, I'm going to come back to this word before the end, appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
That's an interesting word, appointed.
Appointed. And sometimes we think, there are a lot of people who would question this in many years ago. We now know that they are huge fish. There's one fish called a whale shark. There's so many other fish. These are fish. And it is amazing what their size is, what their mouth is like, what their belly is like. It's a perfect dome. It keeps air. And you can survive in it. But in many days, they didn't know these things many years ago. We now know this. But the point is not whether we know it or not. The Bible simply says God appointed, just like he threw the storm at him, he appointed a fish. And he was swallowed. He was alive. Okay. Well, guess what he did in the belly of the whale, of the big fish?
Well, Jonah must have prayed.
Yeah. Because he realized that he was alive and safe there. Even though it was a horrible situation, he was alive and safe because God wanted him alive and safe. And God was listening for his prayer. And the whole of the second chapter is the prayer. And here's parts of it. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around the heads and the roots of the mountain. At the roots of the mountain, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet, you brought my life from the pit, O Lord my God. So he says that you brought my life from the pit.
Now he's still in the belly of the fish.
He's still
but
there.
But he's expressing before the fish swallowed him.
That's right.
That it, the, all these
That's right.
Details.
He sunk. He got wrapped up in mm-hmm. all kinds of things, and he started to sink, and he was swallowed by the whale, by the large fish. We don't know what it was. We're not told.
Mm-hmm.
But he prayed. Not only that, he said, because of this, verse 8 says, verse 9, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It's very important to understand those words, I feel. Because what he says is that, all I can really sacrifice to you is to give you thanks for what you have already done. You have brought my life from the pit. Salvation is not what I can achieve. It is from God. And that, unfortunately, is another mistake that man makes. Man tries to work for his salvation. You can't work for your salvation. You're a sinner. You cannot blot away your own sin. God has prepared a salvation for you. God actually has prepared it through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. That salvation for you is purchased at a great price. All you can do is accept that salvation and give thanks. That's the only sacrifice you can give. You thank God for what He has already done.
So Jonah, in his distress, when he knew there what he had done, in his distress, he called on the Lord.
Right.
And the Lord answered.
That's right.
And what was God's answer? What happened to him?
Fascinating. It says in the Bible, the fish vomited, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited him on dry land, right back closer than he was before.
I wonder if it was Nineveh.
Nineveh.
Was he at Nineveh?
Not at Nineveh, but let's put it this way. You had to go north, and then you had to go east.
Uh-huh.
And what happened is, he went west, so the fish deposited him north at the right place, so now he could go east. So he didn't have to go north anymore, he just went east. So it's amazing what happens, but he was ready to follow what the Lord wanted him to do. Okay.
Now, the fish obeyed God and did what God told him. Now, what did Jonah? Did Jonah obey God after this?
Yeah. He had learned his lesson.
Mm-hmm.
He had learned his lesson well. You can't hide from God. He went to Nineveh. When he came into this huge city, he started doing one thing. That was it. Your city is evil, you are all evil, the judgment of the Lord in 40 days and 40 nights, judgment of God is going to come upon you. That's what he did. He did exactly what God told him to do.
Well, did the people hear?
Yeah, isn't that fascinating?
Well, do you
he
think
didn't
that,
listen.
Yeah, do you think that also the sailors prepared that way?
Oh, definitely.
Because they knew the story
they
already.
They realized it. That this was God. This was the real God. What they had before were not real God.
Mm-hmm.
It says they had stone idols. What are you going to do to a stone idol? Pray to stone? Here they realized that this was the God who made heaven and earth. Who made the sea. Same thing happened to these people. I suspect, now this cannot be verified directly from the scripture account, but word of this had already reached Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were talking that he was supposed to go to Nineveh, he's going the other way. And that was, when he came there, started proclaiming, because the sailors told him, we threw him out into the ocean, he's finished. Well,
and
he wasn't finished.
Yeah.
He appeared there.
Here he is.
And they were scared. They obeyed. They put all these things together and they obeyed. They started repenting. This is what God wants from everyone. I am a sinner. Most people say, oh, I'm pretty good, I'm not like the other guy. No, you've got to say that you're a sinner. And once you say you're a sinner, God starts to work with you.
Hmm. Well, shall we break for a song here?
Yeah, sure.
And then you can continue?
Why not?
Yeah. You enjoyed the song. That was Mehnaz again. We have been doing a story of Jonah from the Old Testament. Jonah, who the word of God came, but he did not want to go to Nineveh, and he went the opposite way. And now he was thrown in the ocean, and the big fish followed him, and the Lord again commanded fish to put him out. So fish vomited him, and here he is in Nineveh, preaching to them as God originally told him to
right.
do. And now, Dan, he is here on the streets telling that mm-hmm. this is what God is saying, that God will destroy you mm-hmm. if you don't repent. And all these people, even the king, was listening.
Yes, the news reached the king. And not only did the news reach the king, even the king realized that he himself, not just all the people, that he himself was committing terrible sins. See, sometimes people follow what the king does.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized it, and what he did was he proclaimed a decree. And the decree went something like this: by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. How many of us have fasted? Now, sackcloth actually means put something that purposely irritates you. We don't even want a slight irritation at a collar. We remove tags from our shirt collars. At least men do that.
Well,
because it irritates them.
Yes, that's true.
And they purposely did it. A lot of people don't fully realize that God wants to see a repentance. He wants you to stop what you're doing. Because you don't really, you fool yourself into thinking you're good when you're doing your thoughts. Sometimes our thoughts are so evil. I know my thoughts. They can be so evil. I puzzle with myself. Why am I thinking these thoughts? God knows what they are. Repent before God. There's so many things that in life. Now, some things you cannot change. There are many things that you can change. At least try to go in the opposite direction. Listen to what someone is telling you about God. When you do, you repent. Now, you're not going to be perfect, but if you repent, something happens.
When you repent, you say something happens. God does.
God actually relented. It says that God saw that they were repenting and turning to him. Because this is what Jonah was telling them, that I have a God who controls the land and the ocean. He is God. That's what he was saying. And he is going to destroy you. And then I feel they'd heard about it. They started to realize it. And they repented, all of them.
And God heard their...
God saw
their repentance.
And he stopped the judgment. This is what he does to each life today. This is not a thing of the past. If you come before the Lord broken, he cannot use you when you're doing fine. When you're broken down and saying, God, what is happening to me? I'm a sinner. I repent. And I take your salvation. You have provided the salvation. Now, the Bible says that salvation is in Jesus Christ. Then God forgives your sin. That is what he wants. Now, these people fasted and prayed. I must tell you, I don't fast. Okay? But the point is, you've got to repent. And you've got to ask God for salvation, knowing that you cannot have it. And God will no longer judge you for your sin, because your sins are actually washed away.
Now, God gave them 40 days. For Noah, Jonah to go and preach, and so God does give time.
He does.
And he gives time to us.
Yes.
We put it off, don't we?
We sometimes put it off too.
Sometimes we think
late.
We have all the time, right. But we may not have all the time.
That's correct.
And but God did listen, and God turned his anger
away. Turned his anger away.
And Nineveh did not get destroyed.
That's correct. Now, you got to remember, Nineveh was a power, and it was against Jerusalem. Yet, the Lord did not destroy, because even in Israel, people were sinning against God. And he kept that power, Assyria, going. In fact, Assyria completely conquered all the area, even up to Egypt and what we call Europe right now. That is how much it conquered in the next 100 years.
Mm, that is amazing. Yeah. Well, we would like to hear what was reaction of Jonah. Now, you know, Jonah did what God told him to do.
Right.
And Jonah God did not destroy Nineveh. God was pleased that they repented.
Right.
And God forgave them.
He forgave them. And that bothered Jonah.
Uh-huh.
It bothered him. You know what he did? He went and camped out on top of the city, waiting for God to destroy the city. God was not telling him anything.
Oh. So actually he went and preached, and then he went out of the city to see.
Yeah, because now
see.
You know the city is going to be destroyed.
Yeah, so he was
so
really...
let me get out.
So he was really waiting, God, so we are ahead of our story.
And
so he was waiting to see
right.
the destruction.
40 days have passed, and he's still looking at the city.
And nothing
and
happened.
He's waiting for the city to be destroyed.
I see.
And he didn't realize, because he was so against them, even though he went and preached, he was displeased that God didn't destroy the city. And sometimes, there are people who in prison with life sentences for murder, repent. And when they repent, they've committed horrible crimes. But God forgives them, and others say, how can God forgive that murderer? How can he ever become a Christian who believes in Christ? He murdered that. There's this terrible murderer called Son of Sam. He repented. He's a firm believer now. He still is a murderer, so
he's still in the prison.
Life in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, he repented. God forgave him. And there will be people on this earth who will say, that's impossible. No one can forgive a sinner like that. And yet the truth is that in what is called the Sermon on the Mount, God says that if you think evil of another person, you're actually committing murder of that person in your heart.
Mm.
Or if you look at a woman with a wrong desire in your mind, you've committed adultery with her. We're sinners.
Mm.
And Jonah was no different. He was displeased with God. Why did God not destroy the city that I hate? They're against Israel.
And there I said that God will destroy and you're not destroying.
And not, you didn't destroy. God, you didn't destroy them.
You're making me a liar.
Yeah.
Okay, see, here is Jonah pouting.
Yeah, and he's sitting.
Yeah, then it was hot outside the city wall, wasn't it? Was he sitting in the hot sun?
He was in the hot sun because he was in a place far away, most probably a mountaintop where it was completely, there was nothing around. So guess what the Bible says? Now the Lord appointed a plant, and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head. God actually put a plant and made it grow so that it nicely shaded Jonah in one day. And Jonah was perfectly happy. Okay, now I can sit. I'm not being burnt to a crisp by the sun. So now I can sit and watch the city burn up. There he is. Watching the city burn up. Well, guess what happened after that?
Well, God appointed something else too, huh?
He did, didn't he? He appointed the next day a worm. And that worm could most probably be seen eating that plant. And here's Jonah looking at this worm working. He couldn't get to it most probably. And the plant withered. Well, was that it? No. Then God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. Now, here's what I suspect. Okay? The wind was dry and hot. So whatever sweat he had, was being evaporated, leaving him dehydrated. There's such winds in Canada, but they're cold. They're called the Chinook winds. They are so dry and so cold that if snow has fallen in these huge mountain valleys to about 4 feet in height, that snow sublimes. It gets taken up in the air. You can see the snow going up into the air, and it straight away becomes humidity because the winds are so dry.
Mm-hmm.
It dries up huge snow fields. This was the opposite of that. It was a dry wind, but a hot wind. He got dehydrated. The plant was not there to shade him anymore.
So he's crying again.
So what is he crying about? Take my life.
Hmm.
This is hopeless. My enemies are still having their own time, and I came and preached to them, and God, you did not kill them. 40 days have passed, you did not kill them. Take my life from me. Okay, here we go. What was the lesson? We have to ask ourselves. What was the lesson? I'm going to read what the Lord actually said to you. Do you do well to be angry?
Now God is speaking to Jonah.
Yeah. Here's a strange question. When God asks that, sometimes it is good to be angry. Anger is not a sin. But in this particular case, he asked Jonah, are you doing the right thing by being angry for this thing? You know something? There's no record given of Jonah answering that.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this case, it was wrong. So what is the lesson God was showing him? He says, no one planted the tree. It came up, and you got the shade, and you were happy. Then the tree died. You had not planted it. It died. And now you're feeling faint. You want to die. Look at that city. Now, I'm going to read the words. And he said, let me read it from 10, verse 10. This is chapter 4, verse 10. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?
That was interesting. He even added cattle, not just people.
He added what I suspect is when he says people who don't know their right hand from their left, it means a child.
Hmm.
It means a child. Hmm. So there are 120,000 children in that city, Jonah. You don't feel pity for them? I feel pity for them. What God is saying is something that sometimes we don't fully understand. And that is, no matter how terrible the person is, God loves every person as much as he loves the other person. He loves everyone so much that salvation is provided by God, not by man. God sent his own son to die, not for the sins of the son. Jesus Christ did not die for his own sin. He died for everyone else's sin. He died for sin in general. So that we have the price paid if we recognize that we are sinners, we repent from our sin, because you know that God is going to judge you. And after repenting from your sin, in addition to that, you start realizing that salvation is from God. It is not from man. And once you realize that, you accept it. And then you offer the sacrifice of praise. The only sacrifice you can offer is something with your mouth. So this story of Jonah is not as simple as it sounds, because it is there today. Now I'm going to ask a couple more questions. But the basic story is that God values every person. He even values cattle, birds, everyone. He is the creator of life, not just of the ocean and the earth.
God gave Nineveh 40 days. Well, God gave Jonah 3 days in belly's fish to repent. He gave Nineveh, people of Nineveh, 40 days to repent.
Right.
And then God was patient. But in all that action, God was showing His love to them. And it is God's wish that no one should perish. And this is where the scripture says that He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that no one should perish, but everyone should have eternal life.
That's right.
And this is the life that God is offering to you today too. And this is the lesson we can learn from Jonah's story, that if you repent like Jonah did, like people of Nineveh did, you will have that life in Him. And
I'd like to mention one thing.
Uh-huh.
We've talked about appointment 4 times. God appointed this, God appointed that.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I'm going to read a verse in Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
It is chapter 9, verse 27 and 28.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. So there's 2 things mentioned. Death and after death, a judgment.
It's appointed.
Yes, God has appointed it. In the same way, Christ died, but He didn't die for judgment. He died for my sin. He died for your sin. So after this, He appears as Savior to those who have accepted Him. I would like if you do that and you simply accept Him.
Well, how much clearly we can mention as we have done now, and we will wait to hear from you. But you don't have to really tell us. You can tell the Lord that you do repent and believe, and that's the only thing you need to do, and do this now. But if you like to call us, our phone number is 301-879-0474. You can also communicate to us via email, ifi@dandeker. We would love to hear from you. I'm Sheila Dandekar.
And I'm Dan Solanke.